and welcome to Mike's Cast with your hosts Greg, Mike, and...
It's damn right.
And here we are today. We're going to talk about... What are we going to talk about? Where's the list? Oh, yeah. Somebody out there has...
Postulated?
Yeah, there. Has postulated
that's
that...
a good word. I like that.
That the reason that Disney is making a bunch of live-action remakes is to protect character copyrights. And Greg needs to Greg needs to booze up.
Require a drink.
He needs to booze up to be ready to talk about it.
You know, you guys talk about me when I'm having all my drinks here, and I can't do one tonight, so I'm just having my soda.
You drink sissy drinks, that's why.
What? Why don't you take the shot? We did have a drinking game for. What is it? Hold it up to the camera so you can see.
Yeah, what do we got?
Okay, so well. The shot glass.
I see the alien.
Alien. When we were in Vegas, it's a store that we happened to walk into a few years ago called Spirits and Spice, and it's small batch stuff. Maybe in front of my shirt, that's better.
Small batch.
This one, it's called Red Hot.
Oh, cinnamon then.
So it's whiskey, cinnamon, and honey.
Oh, honey.
It's got a pretty
okay.
good kick.
All right. Yeah. Well, Fireball's got good kick.
Yeah, Fireball sucks. This is the other one that I spent big money on. This is called Grandma's Apple Crisp. This is really good. It's almost so good, you'll be snockered before you realize you're drinking booze.
Nice.
It's maybe the next show.
And that bottle will be gone probably within the next 3 weeks.
If it makes it that far.
Oh, my gosh.
This was over $100, I think, for this bottle.
Yikes.
$170 for both of these. But it's well worth it. I don't buy booze that often.
No.
But this is worth it.
Not all right. I know.
And it's small batch. Well, you know, they hunt for the local small people, and it's not big names. It's not, you know, some offshoot of Bud or somebody. It's small batch. Brewers. Because it's hard liquor. Still guys, I don't know. Could be
it's
some
like
guy
a Dos Equis
in his backyard with a beard, you know.
Greg's Dos Equis commercial. I don't drink often, but when I do.
Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah, I don't drink Dos Equis. When I do, I don't drink
So you're appropriately lubed.
I do like Dos Equis.
You're probably lubed up, right? You had your shot. All right.
A little bit, sure.
So the postulation was.
I'll follow it up with a little water from Area 51.
All right. Was that.
It's not glowing enough.
Protecting copyright.
It's an interesting idea. I don't know if I buy it, though.
But to hooey, right?
The idea is they remake these things, so they restart the copyright.
Yes, I understand.
Time on a character. Yes. Well, that's what I'm throwing out. And they were showing, you know, in the clip you watch, it shows a bunch of different characters that have been redone. But what makes no sense to me is they've redone some pretty modern
ones.
Yeah.
Which kind of throws the whole argument out of place. You would think they would go back, start at the Snow White, and move forward.
Exactly.
But they're not, you know.
The other thing is the things that we've complained about on where they've kind of gone woke on a few things with changing some of the characters and changing some of the... It's a pale comparison to the original animated classic.
But does it really... let's just take... I don't want to go to Mermaid, but the latest.
Moana?
Snow White. Is Moana the latest?
For live action? I think it is the latest for live action. I don't know.
Not a character that they need to worry about for, 50... 60 years, whatever that limitation is.
All right. Isn't the copyright 85 years now?
Yep. Okay, so that's even better. Why worry about her right now when you've got maybe Pinocchio,
Bambi, 1940, 40, 41.
Cinderella.
Yeah,
they're coming up on their 85.
Sleeping Beauty, et cetera, et cetera.
So they redid Cinderella, right? Live action not too long ago. And they redid...
Yeah. But here's the thing. What
didn't hit the Gregosphere, I guess.
what can you copyright? What, I mean, what part of the, all this is copywritten? Well, there's two things. One is the script, but the scripts are different enough that they're going to be individually copywritten, and that nobody's going after the scripts per se. The other one is the drawings, the character drawings. You cannot extend the copyright with a live action person and say that those drawings done in the 50s are extended that extra time. And they tried it with Mickey Mouse with Steamboat Willie just before Steamboat Willie went into the public domain, that, well, Mickey's still a character that we're using. We still have him. We're refreshing the copyright every year when we're drawing new Mickey Mouse cartoons. And the courts finally said, that's a new Mickey Mouse. That is not the same as Steamboat Willie. So eventually everything in line is going to eventually go up into public domain as time goes by.
Well, they would have had to make, which they didn't, a newer Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
But they chose to stay with the modern one. And they also tried to use him as a trademark of the company as far as a logo.
Yeah. That
didn't title card. Right? They use him as a title card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was just looking at the long list of things they have done. Christopher Robin? When did they do a live making Christopher Robin? I don't remember that.
Something like that. See?
That was during the pandemic. That came and went. There, right around about the 20s.
But now we do know, while you're looking at that,
it was 2018.
We do know that the 85 year thing came from Disney kept pushing to get the copyright period extended beyond the original, what was it, 25 years back in the day?
Yeah, because look, Betty Boop hit the public domain eons ago, right? And we've all seen her on a little bit of everything. I was wrong. They did do Pinocchio. Robert Zemeckis did it in 2022.
Oh, I remember that Pinocchio live action.
I just don't. And it says Dumbo was done in 2019. God, I guess I haven't. I don't care
enough. Yeah. Dumbo was with Michael Keaton.
For these live action ones.
That was
ones.
A horrible movie.
I like the originals.
Yeah.
I don't. I saw the Jungle Book, thought it was okay, John Favreau. So I saw the Beauty and the Beast. I know one of our listeners thinks she was auto-tuned, Emma Watson. I don't know enough about her if she's really a singer. I had a lot of big issues with the storytelling on that particular version of the film, but I'm with Richard here. What those copyrights usually are about was the iteration of what we saw on the screen and what they look like, not a live action remake that looks nothing like the original. That cell, that character, like no one is putting Baloo at the moment on a t-shirt smoking a joint or something. Well, now you can do that now with Steamboat Willie.
Drugged out an alley with a needle hanging out of his arm.
Holding weapons. Yeah, I've seen him.
The lawyer commercial with Steamboat Willie crashing into the back of Minnie.
Seriously. I mean, I think this guy thought he had a gotcha moment, but. Yeah. Of course, we have no legal person with us to advise on this at the moment.
Sure. But a quick Google search. Does live action representation of a cartoon character extend to copyright? That's what I asked.
And what did you find out?
And right away, their AI responds,
no,
a live action representation does not extend the copyright expiration date of the original cartoon character.
However, does anybody remember Peach Dragon? Oh, yes, I do, because it didn't even look like the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I did not see the new Peach Dragon. However, the new live-action film creates separate new copyrighted material. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the trailers of it.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie. The trailer did nothing for me. As a kid, I loved the original.
Alex, working at the movie theater, when she was going into the theater, she said there was nothing in that movie that said, oh, I need to go see this. This looks interesting.
So. Well, that seems to be the typical thing these days of most movies. Like I just saw online the largest, well, they called it the largest theater, and in addition the largest screen in the world is being built in Clearwater, Florida. Does any of you two know where Clearwater, Florida is?
Suburb of Miami, isn't it?
Somewhere in Florida. I don't know.
It's East Coast near Tampa. I would say it's the greater Tampa area.
All right, so it's Tampa.
Don't you mean the West Coast?
Oh, so you're right, Richard. The West Coast.
I do know where Tampa is.
Yeah, I know where Tampa is, which is about 45 minutes
east, you know.
About 45 minutes west of Orlando.
Anyways, it said it just beat the largest IMAX screen, which was in another sleepy town. I forgot where it was now, but I draw distinctions, and I have this conversation with an architect friend of mine, since we're kind of talking movies in general. I draw very distinction between a traditional screen and an IMAX screen, because this friend of mine, architect, loves IMAX screens. I don't particularly care for seeing a film that says it's filmed in IMAX when only a small portion is actually usually filmed in IMAX, except if you're seeing, like, if you remember years ago, they had like the Space Shuttle IMAX or these different specialty IMAXs, a lot of times shown in theme parks or theater or museums, wherever that was set up for big IMAX. But they're traditionally almost square. They're not perfectly square.
Like they're 1.35, aren't they?
But they're not Academy format.
They're not.
Widescreen.
No, but what is the ratio for IMAX?
I want to say they're 4.3.
Is it 4.3, really? Not.
You've got a computer, right?
Yeah, but I thought you freaking cinephiles would know off the top of your head.
I
used to have that all in my back pocket, but I just don't care that much. But I kept arguing. I said you are incorrect.
Changed pants, I know. Finally,
the largest screen this side of the Mississippi was still the big Newport, which is being torn down for housing, of a traditional screen. Like some of my local places that have giant screens. I like it when the curtain moves. When the curtain moves out, you know you've got a film that's a little wider than Academy format. You're like, yeah, this it'll be good. This it'll be hopefully epic and good vistas and wide. And then you've got the traditional Academy format, which is not unlike 16:9 TVs today. Which is the whole reason TV or movies went wide was because now TV TV and film were the same aspect ratio. So for years we were seeing, let's say, Snow White on every reissue, things cut off in the screen because they were showing it in Academy format. And I remember when I was still working at Disney and they were showing films in the Lincoln Theater, they made a big deal how Snow White had been remastered back to the original format, and it was like, wow, heads were being cut off, feet were being cut off. It was interesting to see the squarish format, you know.
Roger Ebert made the same comments when they did that re-release with the put back in the original format on, he had seen Snow White all the time, and he sees her looking up in the air and talking, and there's actually a bird that's sitting up there that she's talking to, but it's always cut out.
So
what do you find, Mike?
IMAX 1.43.
Okay.
Digital IMAX 1.9. And we all know Academy is 2.39.
Yep. Then you get into VistaVision and all the different widescreen variations of Academy format.
Speaking of
VistaVisions, I love VistaVisions. It's so freaking wide.
It's awesome. It's you know what the first VistaVision movie is, right? We already had this conversation. Why is it's ringing bells all of a sudden? Wait, I've already asked this question recently.
Yeah, it was different than I thought it was. One of my really liked films, Lawrence of Arabia, was done in VistaVision, I believe.
Yeah.
But, back to these live-action monstrosities. As I look down the list, I can't think of one that was actually celebrated as really a good great film. I'm sure if we looked up Box Office Mojo or any
Beauty and the Beast seemed to be well received. Their live action Beauty and the Beast seemed well received.
Okay, but how about Moneymaker, you know?
But wait a second, wasn't Beauty and the Beast almost an exact duplicate? I mean, we talked about
Extra song, right? One extra song sequence, but otherwise a complete shot for shot remake.
Closer than most, probably.
Yeah.
But still not an exceptional film.
I want to say Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast are the only two live action remakes I've seen.
Really?
And that, yeah, and the only reason is that someone asked to go see it, me to take him to go see it.
Was it a child of yours?
Or niece.
Somebody.
But yeah. Yeah, we want to see it.
Alice in Wonderland might have done okay. It had some of the right combination of actor, director.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tim Burton, liked. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I saw that on a streamer. I don't think I saw that in a theater.
On TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it in a theater. It's got a good Avril Lavigne song in it. Movie was kind of weird, I thought. But well, then again, But Alice in Wonderland is in itself just a big,
acid trip. Fest. Yeah, it's an acid trip.
Yeah. Okay, it had a domestic opening of 116 million and a budget of 200, so they need to make 400 to clear. And around the world, they just broke $1 billion around the world. So at home, they didn't technically make their budget. They only made 334 million, and you know the number is usually doubled. Which Richard, in that article I sent you, you obviously not, or that video, you didn't watch the whole thing because that it's not the same calculation as what we are talking about here. It's an entirely different.
No, it was close to the same calculation.
Okay, but you're missing the point. It's an entirely different way to rip off the filmmaker. In this sense, Disney's not necessarily trying to rip off Tim Burton. They're working in conjunction with them. But when you sell your independent film and you've signed your life away in blood, they're finding every way to milk you and not pay you back. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
That's the extra million that they did the $3 million with the $1 million budget.
Cinderella 2015, lousy domestic opening, $67 million. And a budget of $95 million. At least it was a little more affordable. Man, when was this again? This was, what did I say? 2015?
Yeah.
And yeah. Alice in Wonderland was 2010 and cost so much more. Oh my God. You know, since it only had a budget of 95 million, so let's just call it 100. They need to make 200 domestically. They did make the 200 and only made 542 worldwide. That I would call that a bomb. I mean, technically, maybe it broke even.
Which one?
Cinderella.
Okay.
I would call that break-even bomb. Jungle Book. John Favreau, one of our favorite directors, right? I actually like him as an actor.
Yeah, he's funny.
You've ever seen him in was The Replacements?
Yeah.
Yes.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball. And he's like, it looked crazy. Yeah. I'll get the ball, coach.
Or The Four Christmases. Was it Four Christmases? Yes.
Wait, I know what The Four Christmases is. Not standing out to me in that.
Is it the one with Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's
a big tall guy.
He plays his brother. They go visit his dad. Remember?
Oh yeah.
he's going to take top, and they played like not Pictionary, but the guess the word. What I'm not allowed to wear at the. At the racetrack, miniskirt, right? What's our screensaver?
Looks like Jungle Book did okay. It didn't kill it. Didn't break $1 billion. It did make 364 here on a budget of 175.
I enjoyed Jungle Book.
You know what? Yeah, I liked a lot of it until, was it the orangutan? King Louie. And I seem to remember a part where either his ass was sticking to the... his throne, like he had never moved. It's like one of those fat people, you know, that are stuck to their sheets and stuff. For some reason, that's stuck in my head that happened in that movie. And I'm like, I don't need to see that.
The whole character first is Christopher Walken that's doing the performance, and they're trying to make and they're trying to design the character around Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. Okay. So,
which is,
yeah, he has that whole jungle vibe and. Only Christopher Walken can do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't perform well. There were just some visuals I didn't need to see.
Well, that's why it was a PG-rated movie.
All of these are PG-rated movies.
Yes, they are.
I don't think there's a G amongst them. Disney doesn't make G movies anymore. Pete's Dragon had a relatively low budget of $65 million, and it did a relatively low opening domestic of $21 million.
That's a bomb. Okay,
this is a bomb because worldwide, $143 million. That's a bomb. Pete's Dragon is definitely a bomb.
That's taken to the shorts, dude.
with no relief.
It was a great. It was a great movie originally.
Remake movies that were marginal and could have been made better in the first place. Don't remake great movies.
Yeah, because you'll always suffer by comparison. Yeah.
In the era where Disney didn't make that many good movies, and I don't want to just put it in that regard, but I think it was a pretty fine film. And for a long time, that back lot sat at Disney. You could see,
Passamaquoddy,
Passamaquoddy.
Yes. Sat there forever.
It was great. Okay, Beauty and the Beast.
Sat out there, too.
Beauty and the Beast, as I'm moving on. Budget of $160 million, pretty high budget for its time of, 2017. Opened with $174. That's impressive. It broke the billion at $1.2, almost $1.3, domestically $500. I'd call that success. Not outstanding success, but a success nonetheless. It did all right.
Which is bad, because when they're successful, it makes them think they made a right choice and they'll do it again.
Well, here's the next one. Christopher Robin.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling this is going to be a bad one.
To be fair, though, this is talking about A.A. Milne writing it and his son, the real life. It's not a remake of Winnie the Pooh. It's talking about surrounding the creation.
Let's not make excuses.
I'm just saying it's not trying to be Winnie
the Pooh. It's not a remake of Winnie the Pooh, is his point.
It's listed as part of the Disney's live action adaptations. Okay, remakes, but adaptations.
Well, the word adaptation is doing a lot of heavy lifting right there.
A budget of $75 million. Not a huge budget. A domestic opening of a whopping $24.5 million.
Oof.
And a worldwide.
When was that released?
2018.
Oh, okay.
Not a COVID movie. That's where you're going, Richard.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he's trying to
going.
Make that he's could making, be his next he's excuse. Doing, oh, well, wearing COVID.
He's wearing his company shill hat right now.
Yeah, he is. It had a worldwide. Anybody? Where's that whip around music?
Oh, you want whip around?
What's the worldwide on Christopher Robin?
Okay, I'm gonna go $250.
And the budget was $75, you said?
It was. Domestic opening of 24.
Yeah. Worldwide, $75.
Domestic was a little more than that at 99, and a worldwide of 197. This is a take it in the shorts, a big red line on your taxes. That was a big time loser. All right, so let's see. Tim Burton returns with a Dumbo 2019.
Guess what?
There are no search results for Dumbo 2000. Let's just try Dumbo. Dumbo. Here it is. Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the one. Okay. Big budget, 170 million shekels on this one. I'm thinking we need more of that music. That really worked well. What do you think the domestic opening?
Okay. All right. So hang on. The budget was 170.
170.
Domestic opening.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with 25.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. I was gonna say 150.
Okay, and worldwide.
250.
Yeah, I'm thinking right around there too. So I'll be generous and say 300.
You're if this was a drinking game, you guys are starting to get snookered a little bit. Okay. Domestically, 114.7 doesn't make its budget. Its budget back, let alone the doubling you need to do with all the promotion. Yeah, yeah.
So 114. So I was close because I said 150 and it was didn't quite make it.
You said 150 worldwide, I think.
No, 150 domestic, 300 worldwide.
I don't remember asking domestic. I asked opening.
Oh, sorry.
Opening is what I asked. Okay.
Yes, opening.
It was 45.9 opening.
Oh, shit.
Do you think some accountant is sweating? Tim Burton should be like, I should pay this back. Worldwide, $353.2 million.
So it did better outside the country.
But all right. 230. It did about double outside the country than it did in the country. But think about that. That market, which used to be ignored because, and this came from an insider, and maybe they don't do their accounting this way anymore, but they considered the success of a film on the domestic box office.
Yes.
Now, at the time, the worldwide box office didn't have some of the places to release that they have today.
Like China.
China's one, but I didn't send it to you. I've sent Richard two different videos on analyzing China's supposed 1 billion people or whatever they supposedly have, right?
You know, and I will say just off the side, that math is spot on, and it's like, makes you really think.
Think about it. If there's a one-child policy, how have they exponentially grown over the last 10, 20 years?
Not possible.
Right? Starting with 600 million people in 1960, if they only have a one-child policy, how can they be, what is it, 2 billion now?
Don't you have
I'm not sure when that one started, but...
Doesn't the birth rate have to be like a hair over 2 to maintain?
Well, that's why we're minorities in this country, which is, you know...
Okay.
We're a country of mutts and mixes, so that's fine.
Next movie.
Aladdin in 2019.
Okay, so you're going to give us the budget, and you're going to give
I'll give you the budget. You tell me what the opening is, and then we'll go to worldwide, and I'll come back and throw in domestic to see if we think it was a success overall.
All right.
Okay. So. So the budget was $183 million, which how much of that went to the main actor?
20, right? Was it 20 for
100.
Oh. Will Smith got $100 million for that? No.
I'm going to say 60.
I don't know. That was a side note that I don't know.
Okay. So you want a domestic number and you want a worldwide number?
I want an opening number.
Worldwide. And a worldwide number.
So what was the budget?
180.
183.
I'm going to say opening at 130.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a, I'm going to say 120. Opening 120.
Okay.
And then now we need worldwide. Will Smith is kind of big worldwide.
Worldwide, I'm going to go 1 billion.
Oh, shoot. No, I'll say 400 million.
Okay. Those are very different numbers.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
But
opening 91.5. Okay. Not shabby for an opening weekend. Right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. Domestically, it was only 33% of their overall haul. Worldwide, Richard was closest, 1.05 worldwide. Domestically, 355. So, not quite the double number, but probably close enough to consider break even.
Successful enough for them to go, oh, not a bad idea.
Let's right. make Genie 2.
Yeah.
No, at least they didn't do that. Well, how about this? It's maybe we rebounded from Dumbo and Christopher Robin. We'll keep going.
Right? Wait, what year was Aladdin? Before
2019.
So still pre-COVID.
These are going chronologically in order of time.
Okay.
So everything is getting closer to us. But
I don't remember when freaking this stupid movie came out. That's a problem.
Yeah, Lion King 2019. Haven't hit the pandemic yet. All right. So, oops, that's after the murder of his father. That must be. Wait, why does this look different than the live Mustafa the Lion? Which is the one? Oh, one's, that's even another one.
One's Mufasa's
is like his, that's a prequel.
It's like an origin story for the for Mufasa.
Yeah.
Okay, Mufasa, what is it? Lion 2019 remake, John Favreau. Let's see what comes up. If this is, does it say? It doesn't say if it's John Favreau, but the picture looks like a cartoon.
I was going to say, really, honestly, truly, can we call The Lion King a live action remake? It's just a different form of animation. I agree with you.
Full CGI, right?
Yeah, it's CGI. Yeah. So I'll give you the plot. The murder of his father, a young lion prince, flees his kingdom only to learn the true meaning of responsibility. That sounds like the regular one.
Sounds like The Lion King, yeah.
Well, that's, it says photorealistic remake by John Favreau. Let's look at the one that maybe they got this one effed up on the. We'll look at Mustafa. Does it say if it's John Favreau? It does not. But this looks like the one that's more of the, you know.
Mufasa and the Lion King remake are both the same kind of CGI photorealistic look.
All right. Then the 2019 must be this remake. And they called it exactly the same thing. Like some of these we know. Well, Cinderella's the same. Alice in Wonderland's the same. Peach Dragon's the same. Jungle Book's. Because I thought I saw, oh, later down we get to like Cruella. There was no theoretically Cruella original, but it's an adaptation. Okay, so we got a budget of $260 million on Lion King
2019. 216. So opening.
260. 260.
260. Opening.
Okay, opening, I'm going to say 150.
Opening, okay. I'm going to say close to budget, like 250, because Lion King has a lot of cachet or pull or, you know, nostalgia.
It does.
Okay. And now worldwide, Richard.
Opening?
That was opening.
Yeah.
You worldwide, want worldwide now.
I'm going to go worldwide 1 billion again.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right to me, too. Like just a hair over, maybe.
I think this one we might call it success. Its earliest release date was in Australia, but domestically opening was $191.7 million.
Oh, okay. So
I'd call that a good opening.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Worldwide 1.66.
1.6.
All okay.
Right.
Domestically, 543. Which, when I do my math really quick, is just barely over the budget doubled for promotion, blah, 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 paying off lawyers, blah, blah, blah.
Paying off lawyers.
But worldwide, well, you do have to pay a bunch of lawyers to look at your stuff. Okay, Lady, and I forgot they even did Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. Which
also came out in 2009.
Oh,
this also came out in 2019. That's the 1955. Got to change my search parameter, see if it comes up. Oh, well, looks like I cut off the L with my copy and paste. What year did I say that? Well, late 2019. Okay.
Three live actions in 2019.
What are you itching? Oh, you're itching to say that. Okay. And you know what? This one, and this happens to me occasionally, some film doesn't come up, and Lady and the Tramp is one of those. So maybe it was that. Oh, I know why. It was released directly to Disney Plus, so it's probably not going to show up.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, the next is Mulan. Okay, Mulan came out in 2020. Same thing, was released during the pandemic. Now, Lady and the Tramp pre-pandemic went to Disney Plus. Mulan during the pandemic via Disney Plus Premier Access. Now, we should also mention there is a very famous actress. Yes, go ahead.
What's your definition of pre-pandemic? Like January, February of 2020?
2019 would be pre.
But
yeah, where were we in 2020 when we learned that Italy had shut down?
We were in Fresno.
But what Disney time of the year were we
March.
In
March. We were there in March. But Disney Plus didn't release during the pandemic, didn't it? Disney Plus became widely available in March of 2020, I thought.
It must have been earlier because Lady and Tramp is according to this list, which is from Rotten Tomatoes, You can look that up.
As I am.
I want to say Disney Plus initially had Disney Plus, but then you had the just released movie that would cost, you know, a few dollars extra okay. on top of it. The same as Amazon Prime is Sorry. Still doing to this day.
Launch date was November of 2019.
Okay.
So I probably didn't pony up the dollars for it until The Mandalorian dropped, which I think was 2020.
Yeah. Okay. Cruella. Now, not a direct remake, but an adaptation of a character from an earlier film. Okay. You ready with that? This is going to be harder. Okay, shush, okay. Richard. Well, you're really on a roll. You sure you haven't been drinking? Okay, I don't have a budget. We're going to have to guess.
You don't have a budget.
We don't have a budget. I'll tell you what. I'll give you the domestic opening, and you kind of guess on the how much it made domestically and worldwide.
Okay.
The domestic opening was 21.5 million.
Okay.
That's open. So domestic.
That's domestic opening.
I'm going to say domestically 50. and worldwide, maybe 200.
I'm going to be a little more generous. I'm going to say 120 for domestic, and I'm going to say 250 worldwide.
Okay, and I'm going to just make this side comment. We'll see if it holds true. We may start seeing less budget releases as we move forward.
Okay. I wonder why.
Which I've noticed a lot. I've noticed that a lot when looking up some Disney films. All right. Domestically, it made $86 million.
Okay.
Worldwide, it made $233.5 million.
Oh, okay, close at 250.
It was right between us. Okay. I said two, and Richard said 2.5.
Based on all the previous ones, and it's Emma Stone, who probably makes a fairly good salary, I'd say you can put this in the sizzling pile of shit column.
Yeah, see, that's a...
I got to say it's $120 million to $170 million budget. I can't see it being any less than that.
Because did they use light? Yeah, did they use CGI puppies or real puppies?
Oh. I want to say this was, I think puppies that were mapped digitally to add all of the dots and things.
I don't think they had the Dalmatians on this. This is a different story with Cruella de Vil.
No, but she still wanted the pelts. Look it up. While we move along,
I can't. My computer's jammed up right now. So. Wait, I got the other one right here.
What do you want me to look up?
You got a PC. Probably an old one, too. The basics of Cruella. Was she after the Dalmatians? What was she doing? Let's see if Robert Zemeckis can save the day with Pinocchio. I'm guessing a big fat no.
70s London Cruella is a live-action prequel detailing the origin of Cruella de Vil, a gifted fashion designer named Estella who turns to crime after her mother is murdered by the elite Baroness von Hellman. Alongside accomplices Jasper and Horace, she embraces the vengeful Cruella persona to outdesign and ruin the Baroness. So no puppies at all.
Okay. Yeah. I thought they did a remake because I thought I saw a thing online where they were talking about digitally, you know. Okay. All right. We're going to start seeing a trend here. No budget. This is Pinocchio 2022, Robert Zemeckis. I don't even have. This is sad. I'm just going to give you the numbers. This is so sad.
No budget listed. Okay.
No, it's opening in Colombia.
What the what? Colombia?
Get this.
Colombia, the country?
Yes. Okay. Hold on.
All right.
Are you sitting down? Wait, I might need to take a drink after this one. It's opening in Colombia was $52.
No, that is not true. That is
gross. Its gross was Its gross was 43,000.
What? Wait.
To be fair, let's just say Columbia still has Nickelodeons. It's a nickel to see a movie over there. So that means a lot there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. To be fair.
Did it get released in the United States?
Okay. I know. That's what I'm wondering. To be fair, it gives no domestic release numbers, and it's international. It's 100% from Columbia at $43,191.
They didn't release it anywhere.
And I don't know if that's Colombian money or money. could be even worse. It sounds like it did not. It's like, I don't know if they tested it, and it did so bad. But I call that.
That's possible.
That's even a bigger steaming pile of poop than, what did I say, Cruella probably was.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on to the
101 Dalmatians. That was 1996 with Glenn Close. So,
okay. That's
way back. That's back in Eisner.
Yeah, days. Not even on the list. Probably, I don't know, this list. No, this is, 2010 is still Eisner, right? Alice in Wonderland?
No, 2005 was when Eisner left.
Okay, so this may or may not have been under, I don't know at what point Iger says, we're going to make all these remakes. Or did they just happen to make Alice in Wonderland and he got a Woody on and said, let's make Pinocchio. Let's make the other things. Okay, continuing on. Little Mermaid 2023. Now, I'm seeing this trend. No budget. So I'll give you a domestic opening. And
which film is this one?
Catch Up. The Little Mermaid.
Mermaid.
Okay.
2023. Domestic opening, $95.5 million. It sounds like a decent opening.
So then I'm going to say domestically, $350. Worldwide, $650.
Okay.
I'm going to say domestically, $195. And worldwide, $250.
Ooh. Wow. I think Mike was closer. I didn't write these numbers down, but domestically, $298, so about $300. And worldwide, this is what hurts, $569.6.
Yeah.
And these numbers have usually been reversed, where a lion's share of the money comes from international.
But, maybe the people that, saw their fairy tale. Swapped. I'm going to leave out the word that goes in front of it, but swapped, right? Sure. Their fairy tale got swapped. Maybe they did, turn their nose up at that.
Yeah. So we talked about China's a pretty big market these days. It only made $3,700 in China.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. The big money, there was no big money overseas. United Kingdom, $34 million. Okay, that is a tale from the Netherlands? Am I getting close? Or
no, Scandinavian country. No,
that's Dutch. That's Dutch. That's it's, mine. Norway.
It's not Danish. Norway. I'm pretty sure it's a Denmark story.
It is Denmark.
Yes, it's Danish. Yes.
I should know this because we were just in Solvang and and once I did my DNA, I found out, my paternal grandfather is from there. Okay. Okay, where was that? Denmark. $1,800.
Yeah, of course, right?
Well, I think that was kind of a protest. They didn't
poop
like
on my fairy tale. And we're gonna...
yeah. I'm gonna guess it's another steaming pile of horse shit that did not make any money and went into that certain side of the ledger we try not to talk about. Okay, Peter Pan and Wendy. This will be, released on Disney Plus, so we're not going to get anything on that. Interestingly enough, on the little AI search thing, it says successes. Jungle Book and Cinderella received generally positive reviews, balancing nostalgia with new perspective. Mixed negative, some critics and audience have considered others to be duds, such as Dumbo or Peter Pan and Wendy, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
I guess I should have pulled up Rotten Tomatoes.
But, duds from a critic standpoint, who cares?
Yeah.
The money talks in this regard, right? I mean, there's so many movies out there that critics love, and you go watch it and go, what were they smoking?
Well, that's the ones that get the Academy Awards. The ones the fans. It's rare that a fan and critics
agree.
Combined, like, I would say Titanic got, if I remember, mixed critic review, but fans obviously. Karen, I want to say we wasted. That movie was almost 3 hours long, right?
Yes.
2.5.
A little over, yeah.
I did not see it this many times. Karen saw it probably at least 10 times.
In the theater?
In the theater.
And you probably own it on some physical media too, don't you?
I have it on a special edition Laserdisc, which she's never pulled. In fact, this Laserdisc is so special. It has a sleeve, has no box, and it came, I guess you could say, from the inside. So it's like an unreleased Laserdisc version of it.
The one thing I have it on videotape. Yes, videotape. VHS. The one thing I would get a new copy of it is if they add one of the deleted scenes that I've seen when they were showing it on TV, but I've never seen it released anywhere, where it's on the California.
We're talking about
Titanic
still, right?
Yes.
Carpathia, California?
No, it was on the California because the California was nearby, and the California was trying to tell them about the ice flow. Titanic told them to shut up, so they turned off their radio and went in for the night, and they were only a few miles away from the Titanic, but because the radio shack was turned off, nobody heard the request.
I want to see the alternate ending, which cuts the film down a little bit. It goes something like this. Iceberg, and the credits roll. They turn, get out of the way, and we're done. I remember saying, why the F do I want to go see that movie? I know how it ends.
You know, here's the thing.
It was fun.
You know how it ends, but you want to, personally, I want to see how they show it, right? And back in that day, you know, there's plenty of lead up on all the, you know, James Cameron and all the non-digital effect he was going to try to use to.
I will agree with you on that and to the point where I believe he had stated before the film came out, that once they hit the iceberg, it is in real time. So yeah, to sit there and put that into perspective of, I mean, time is counting down. You know?
Yeah.
These people are going to be dying. Yeah, the Jack, the, you know, draw me like one of your girls, all that BS and that didn't happen. Just move the story forward. Yeah. You know?
And also, he was trying to be extremely accurate with the ship breaking in half and everything. Just the one problem that Neil deGrasse Tyson pointed out, that the stars were in the wrong spot.
Neil, you know what? He needs to take the stick up his ass and take it out. You know, he said, take that stick out of his ass. He is so presumptuous sometimes. I mean, yes, he's a brilliant guy, but sometimes, like I had this discussion with Richard and came up to something legal and he couldn't get past it. I said, forget it. Think broad picture. If this was illegal to, and he just, but there's different. And I'm like, oh my God, shut the fuck. You're sounding like Neil deGrasse Tyson when you're trying to talk big picture and he's down into the weeds with, you know, something. It's like, that's not what we're talking about.
You know what Dunning-Kruger is, right?
I can't say.
Dunning-Kruger is where people who are smart and are good at one thing, really good at one thing, think their skill with that one thing translates to everything else they want to do, right? So a guy who's an electrical engineer or how about a coder, right? He can code whatever, and he thinks he can apply his fantastic coding skills and also be a good lawyer. Or hop in an airplane and fire it up and fly it. That's Dunning-Kruger, right? You think your skill and intelligence translates to everything you do. And that's
okay.
That's
I think I know a couple of people like that. I've seen some on TV. Some might be an astrophysicist and they also play one on TV.
Yes. okay. So I want to circle back so we can draw our conclusion because we're coming up on time. The person's assertion that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Hui, right? Yes. It falls under not quite clickbait. It's one of those things that go, well, that sounds like it could be true. And then when you scratch the surface, it's not. Yeah.
It sounds like it's logical, but it's not. No one here thinks it's even close to being accurate, right?
No, heck no. No. Especially
when Mike thought it was Huey. It was very apparent from the beginning it was Huey.
Yeah, but it was.
I want to make sure that Richard, with that big bulbous, cathedral popping out of his head, that
looks like a state house building.
Capital. Yeah. Probably Texas.
That's Idaho.
But
it was the Idaho capital.
That's the Idaho capital.
But it was a good discussion.
That was a good discussion. Yeah.
We had some fun. All right. Well, with that being said, as usual, we all enjoy that you tune in, and we thank you for listening, and we wish you a good night.